Waiting for us to get into the Word. I'm just waiting for me to be told that we are recording and ready to go. One thing you will notice if you've been watching us progress through the last 3 or 4 weeks here with our online video, we are now able to allow you to see the slides that would normally be seen only here in person. And I think that's a great thing. So take your Bibles. Even though you're sitting at home, I hope you're approaching this as though you are in church service and you have your Bible handy. We are going to take a short detour away from Job, beginning today for about 7 weeks. I will tell you, I'm waiting to hear from a missionary that we had on the schedule during this 7-week period. I have not heard from him. I don't know exactly what his plans are. He may be with us. If he is, then we're going to be taking an 8-week detour away from Job and then returning to it. I usually don't jump on the bandwagon with this kind of series, but this is a series that was sent to me and other pastors in the Assemblies of God that was kind of put together and packaged by our national leadership. Now, I'm just going to be very blunt and honest with you. These men and women are men and women of God that it was ordained by God that they be in these positions, and we owe them a large amount of honor and respect. They're not there by accident. They're not there because they played politics. They are there because God has placed them there. And they sometimes will send out a package like this to pastors saying, here's something you might want to think about, you might want to look at. And many times it's just not the right timing. But I felt this time, this series entitled Infinitely More, Following the Journey of Jesus, was exactly what we need during the time that we're in with this pandemic. Today's sermon is called Just the Beginning. You go to the next slide. Just the beginning. I want you to realize something. God always starts with the end already in mind. God never begins something in our lives without already knowing what the end is going to be. Even now, this entire virus situation that has it seemed to catch the world by surprise, God already knew about it before it ever started. And God already has an end. He has a result. He has something already in plan long before it ever started. And we need to recognize that. One of the things we need to recognize is that God has been preparing all along to lead us not just through life, but it was his plan from the very beginning in Genesis 1:1 when it says, in the beginning God created. He already had in mind that he was going to lead us through history to the cross, and not just to the cross, but finally through the cross and into a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. You see, this journey is really a journey of how to take you from where you are right now to a greater relationship and a greater encounter with the Holy Spirit. Our key verse and our theme, and it's the text for this morning, and it's the text for this entire series, is this. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Now, some of you that are part of this congregation are going to say, Pastor, this sounds a little bit like something you did about 2 or 3 years ago. And you're right, it's very similar. But I believe that God is bringing us back to this topic because some of us have gotten so down and discouraged over COVID-19. Some of us have gotten so bent out of shape over the fact that the church can't open the doors at the moment that we've gotten our focus in the wrong areas. And friends, I'll tell you, I believe God is going to pull something great and mighty out of this whole thing if we will allow him to. I don't know about you, but I like the sounds of that. I want the Holy Spirit to move in my life in such a way that I will experience infinitely more than I can ever imagine in my finite mind. We need to realize that from the very beginning of creation, it is God's nature to always start something with an end in mind. Can I tell you, if we'll stay focused on God, if we'll stay focused on what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, we're going to look back in a few months, maybe even as quick as a few weeks, and we're going to say, wow, look what God did through all of this. You see, God had a plan from the very beginning to be with you and me. In the book of Genesis, we find God living out this plan with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We go back to those chapters, and we're not going to look them up, but you'll recall that it talks about how after he created them and said all was very good, that it talks about how he walked with them, and he talked with them in the cool of the evening in the garden. It seemed like a perfect plan. It was a perfect setup for the first couple. But one single selfish act, and sin was birthed into the world, and the perfect plan was no more. But friends, it didn't catch God by surprise. You see, he already had the end in mind. The truth is, God had a plan to deal with sin. Now listen, God had a plan to deal with sin even before it happened. And he let Adam and Eve in on it from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says this. God is speaking to the serpent, which was simply the way Satan presented himself. God gives the plan. There's a fancy term for this. It's called the proto-evangelium. It is the first time that the evangelistic message, the good news of Jesus Christ being our Savior, is given in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. You see, God's plan from the very beginning took us to the cross. God's plan leads us to the cross. God had a plan to crush the power and the penalty of sin from the very beginning. We need to realize that Jesus was there at the foundation of the world. He did not show up suddenly in Bethlehem. He is God. He is the second member of the Trinity. And he has existed into eternity past. And he sat there. I love to picture it this way. I picture the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, sitting there in eternity past before time ever existed. And they begin to talk about what they want to do in creating us. And I can just picture the Father looking at the Son saying, you know, if we do, you know they're going to blow it. And the Son says, yeah, I know. And the Father says, Son, if they blow it, you know what's going to happen. You know what you're going to have to do. You've got to set aside your godness, your deity, for a period of what we'll call time. And you've got to walk among them, dwell among them. And in your humanity, you're going to have to suffer and die for them. And he says, yeah, I know. But Father, like you, I love them so much. I'm willing to do that. The Old Testament continually shows us pictures of God's great plan to redeem mankind through the sacrifice of Christ. You see, the cross was not a knee-jerk reaction that God came up with at the last moment. It was part of his plan before, in the beginning, because God always has the end in sight before he ever starts. In Genesis chapter 7, we have the story of Noah's Ark that points to a Savior who will rescue us and help us escape from spiritual destruction. In Genesis 22, we have the story of how Abraham was tested and told to sacrifice his son Isaac, and it points to our Heavenly Father who was more than willing to send his son as a sacrifice for our sin. In Exodus 12, there is the story of the Passover and how the lamb's blood that was sprinkled over the doorpost pointed to Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, whose blood would be shed for each of us and would protect us from spiritual death. Every activity and expression that has been lived out through humanity was part of God's great plan and preparation to lead us to the cross, where Jesus would ultimately fulfill his purpose. When we get to the New Testament and we've traveled through that journey of stories and history of the Old Testament, we get to the New Testament and John the Baptist gets the unique honor of introducing Jesus and God's plan in the New Testament. You see, John the Baptist, I like to think of him as kind of the last of the New Testament prophets and the beginning of the New Testament preachers. In John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34, here's what we're told. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize, is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. Friend, God had all of this already in store long before. Listen to me. Long before we start the New Testament. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11 says this. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. What do we find out here from Paul in this chapter of Romans, in this verses 8 through 11 of chapter 5? God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die while we were yet sinners. That tells me he had a plan in mind. He had a plan from the very beginning. You see, God, listen, God's not caught by surprise by anything that's going on in your life right now. Charlie, I know you're watching. God was not caught by surprise when that piece of bed frame slapped you upside the head. God was not caught by surprise when you hurt your ribs. Georgia, God was not caught by surprise when your granddaughter's stepmother got sick and came down with what she's had and had to be on the ventilator. Friends, none of that took God by surprise. God was not taken by surprise when Christopher's foot was injured marching in the State Fair parade a year and a half ago. Friends, we've got to get over the fact that just because we're surprised by events happening in the world right now, God is not. And he's always had a plan. And his plan was to bring us to the cross. But that's not where he stopped. His plan also leads us through the cross. If the story would have ended at the cross with a dead Savior on the cross, and it ended there and him being laid in a tomb and the stone rolled in place, and that's the end of it, we have no reason to rejoice today. But praise God we do. Because you see, his death and resurrection were not all he had in mind. He shows us that the cross was just the beginning. And his plan is to do infinitely more in us and through us. In John chapter 1, verses 33 and 34, remember what John the Baptist said about him. He says, I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testified that he's the chosen one of God. You see, friends, it wasn't a plan of just bringing us to the cross. It wasn't a plan of just bringing us to the tomb and seeing it empty, but it continues on, and the plan is for us to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that God can do in us, for us, and through us infinitely more than we can ever imagine. Even before Jesus began his 3.5-year ministry journey, his plan to send you and me, the Holy Spirit, as that paraclete, as the one that walks alongside, as that one that guides us, it was already in place. If you happen to have your Bible there handy with you, just flip back to the first pages, to Genesis 1:1. And where it says, in the beginning, God created, you need to understand, before that ever took place, God already had a plan in place that he wanted the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to empower us to be his hands and his feet extended. Even this time of pandemic and quarantining is a part of God's plan. I will tell you, there's a lot of things happening out there right now that frustrate me. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to stand in my pulpit today and get into a political debate or a political discussion, because I need to be reminded that God already knew this. It's part of God's plan. I do believe that the thing I can ask you to do today is we need to begin to pray that, just as God's word says, that God will begin to turn the hearts and the minds of certain leaders so that they will begin to do what's best for the people that they are governing and not for their own selfish ambitions. That I will ask you to do. Just as I will ask you to remember that God has a plan. I believe that this time is the beginning of something great for each of us as individuals, as families, as local congregations, and as the body of Christ. It's the beginning of something great for all of us if we will let the Holy Spirit be our guide. You'll see there on your screen now a scripture, John chapter 16, verse 13a, out of the New Living Translation. And it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Friends, today is just the beginning. You're going to see that on your screen for a moment, and I want it left there for just a few seconds. I want you to realize that today is a new beginning. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you. With all the power he has, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to take you to the next level of relationship with Jesus Christ, to move from where you are today to the very next level, and to be ready to do whatever God has called you to do. I want you to look right into your screen this morning as I look into the camera. I want us to look eye to eye, as it were. I want today, April 19th, 2020, to be just the beginning of what I believe could be the third great awakening in the history of our nation, if the church will get focused on Jesus Christ and the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Father has set this up for us to see one of the greatest harvests of souls that we've ever had and experienced in the history of our nation. But for that to happen, we've got to recognize the fact that the answer is not a political one. The answer is a spiritual one. And it does not matter what the governor says. It does not matter what the president says. It does not matter what Congress does. God still sits on the throne of heaven. And the last time I looked in the Word, God still reigns. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you never start anything without already knowing what the end result will be. Lord God, may we be faithful. May we put our trust in you. And may we allow the Holy Spirit to be our power and our guide as we follow you on this journey, and we begin to see a great harvest of souls. We ask that in your name. Amen and amen. Friend, if you're watching today and you've not really begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to encourage you to go to the website that's on the bottom of the screen. And when you get there, you will see a link that says to send prayer requests. I want you just to send me an email, and I want you to reach out to me. And I just want to tell you, if you've not begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, you can do so today by doing this, by confessing to Jesus in prayer that you know you're a sinner and you're sorry for what you've done, and you accept his free gift of salvation that he paid for on the cross. And when you send me that email, you'll be confessing it, and I will be in touch with you, and I'll give you instructions on what the next step is you need to do as you begin a journey with Jesus Christ. Today really can be the beginning of a great journey for you. God bless you. Hey, Wednesday night, we'll be back on Bible study at 6:30, back live. And the very minute I get word that we can come back into the building together, we're going to do so as we also continue to reach out through the technology we have. God bless you. Hey, Clayton AG Church, for the rest of us, remember, God has something great for you to do in somebody's life today. God bless you.